on 2FM with Green Farm. Get real with Green Farm's chicken and turkey range. Real protein, real tasty. Game on, weeknights from 6 on 2FM.
Yes, a big thank you, as always, to the two Johnnies for keeping us entertained this afternoon. A perfect way to start off the week. It is Monday, the 28th of March. I'm Shane Dawson, and you're listening to Game On. Plenty to get through over the next hour. Alan Cawley will be with us to reflect on Ireland's 2-2 draw against the world's number one ranked side, Belgium. And we'll hear the latest from the Irish camp ahead of tomorrow's match against Lithuania. In Gaelic games, Barry Cahill and Niall Moran will give their opinion on a noteworthy weekend across the National League. And in rugby, Fiona Coughlan will be looking back on the opening weekend of the TikTok Women's Six Nations. As always, if you want to get in touch, you can do so by dropping us a text on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM.
Game On on 2FM.
Yes, plenty to get through over the next hour, so it is great to have your company wherever in the world you are tuning in from. A couple of news headlines to get through first that caught my eye earlier today. The Ireland women's cricket team will become the first Irish senior international side to tour Pakistan when they play a six-match white ball series in November of this year. While Ireland and Pakistan have a history of international cricket between the two sides dating back 60 years, this will be the first time a senior men's or women's side will have played in Pakistan. Unfortunate news for Dave Kearney, as he is set for another lengthy spell on the sidelines, with the Leinster winger set to miss a string of key fixtures due to a hamstring injury. Out half Ross Byrne is also a doubt for Saturday's trip to play Munster. And Waterford GAA will this evening study video evidence of Sunday's Allianz League semi-final before deciding whether or not to appeal Austin Gleeson's red card against Wexford yesterday. I'll be chatting to Niall Moran a little bit later on, and we'll be getting his thoughts on that one, and indeed the rest of the hurling action. But first, it is time to chat about
Game On
Gaelic football.
Gaelic football indeed, in the company of Barry Cahill. And Barry, drama across the divisions, but let's start with Division 1, and let's start at the bottom end of Division 1. Dublin and Kildare go down. Before we talk about what relegation might do to Dublin and indeed Kildare, credit where credit is due to Jack McCarron. A couple of years in a row now, he was instrumental in keeping Monaghan in the top flight. Monaghan may not win an All-Ireland anytime soon, but brilliant scenes in Clonus for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Full credit to Banty and his management team and the players. They really pulled it out of the bag yesterday, given the fact that they were underdogs for the game. A lot of people's favourites to go down. They did brilliant again. I suppose it's a team that's well used to doing it. It's, I think, the third time in recent years that they were heading for relegation going into injury time on the final day, but they managed to get those couple of scores to keep them up. So, great celebrations yesterday for Monaghan and their players. And, you know, it was a well-deserved victory. And I suppose they used their bit of experience in the end to get the win.
So turning our attention to the team that Monaghan defeated, Dublin. Like, I mean, fans from a certain vintage won't know what it's like seeing Dublin lose. And this is a new experience for them in this league campaign. But there was a time when Leinster titles meant a lot to Dublin fans, and that Croke Park was packed out, and there was league matches in Parnell Park, and there was sparsely attended O'Byrne Cup matches and so on. Now, I don't think it's crisis stations yet, but how will this affect Dublin? Because Oisín McConville mentioned on Morning Ireland today that this won't rule them out of still being serious contenders for the All-Ireland come the summer. Would you share those sentiments, or would you be a bit more concerned?
I know, I think Dublin are still very much in the hunt for the All-Ireland this year. The actual relegation itself probably won't be felt until early 2023 next year, when they are going in to play those matches against teams that they're probably not that familiar in playing. And I suppose playing against Division 2 opposition for a couple of months next year probably won't be the ideal preparation going into the 2023 Championship. But, you know, going back to yesterday's game, it was more probably the performance that was the most disappointing thing. It looked like Dublin had got their season back on track after a poor February and having those opening four defeats. The Tyrone performance in particular, and also the Donegal win, looked like they were sort of pointed in the right direction, or heading in the right direction going into yesterday's game. I think a lot of Dublin people would have felt confident that they'd get the win yesterday, which would have been enough to stay up. So I think the most concerning thing really is not quite the relegation for next year. It's more about the performance yesterday, where there was so much on the line. You know, they probably had about maybe 12 to 13 of their starting team there. They're obviously missing Conor Callaghan and a couple of the small brothers, but it was a high-stake game, and you would have liked to see Dublin put in a better performance and get the win, and you know that would have sort of put them in good stead for the next few weeks in the lead-up to the Leinster Championship. So I think there are a few concerns for Desi and the management team going into the Leinster Championship now, which isn't that far away.
Well, given the manner of the defeat, and you mentioned the manner of the performance from Dublin, how does Desi turn it around? I mean, how do you galvanise the players now ahead of a Leinster Championship?
Well, certainly, I think defensively, you know, they have looked weak and they have looked suspect over the last number of weeks. They've conceded 11 goals, which is a huge amount for this Dublin team. I think they're joint worst in terms of goals conceded, along with Wicklow, across the four divisions, which is very unlike Dublin. So that's an area that they certainly have to correct. Now, they didn't have Evan Cumford in goals yesterday, and they, as I said, they have John Small to come back as well. But I think defensively, they have been very open, and the full back line in particular seemed very exposed. There doesn't seem to be enough pressure on the ball that's being kicked into their full back line, and certainly the cover isn't there that we're so used to seeing for the last number of years. So from that perspective, it was very disappointing, because Monaghan actually hadn't been scoring a huge amount in their previous six league games. They were only averaging maybe 12-13 points a game, whereas, you know, 3-13, which is essentially 22 points, is a very high score to concede yesterday. So that's certainly one area that there'll be a lot of focus and attention on, I think, from the Dublin management team over the next month or so.
Well, the team that will be joining Dublin in Division 2 next year is Kildare, and despite relegation, I think it's fair to say Kildare can take positives from this league campaign. They were, of course, defeated by Mayo in Carrick and Shannon. So opinions on Kildare first, Barry, before getting on to Mayo, who have quietly gone about their business and are now back in a league final.
Yeah, I think, you know, Kildare will be in good stead going into the Leinster Championship despite the relegation. They were there or thereabouts for all seven league games, managed to get a couple of wins under their belt. They didn't do as well, I suppose, away from home, so that's maybe an area of concern and focus for them. But I think getting those seven games will be invaluable for them, you know, because they have been in Division 2 for the last couple of years. They would have learned a lot from it. I think the players would have matured a little bit more. The management team, certainly, they're in their first year of their campaign, so they would have learnt a lot about the group of players as well. So I think Kildare will still be quietly happy with their body of work, I suppose, over the last 2 to 3 months. And they'll be looking forward to the Leinster Championship and certainly be focused on trying to get back to a Leinster final and, you know, possibly getting a crack at Dublin.
And for Mayo, I suppose they are now in a league final against Kerry. Kerry, of course, were already assured of that league final spot ahead of the weekend. We will preview the football finals a little bit later on in the weekend. But for Kerry and Mayo, both will be certainly pleased to just be back in a final and battling it out for some silverware.
Yeah, it's an interesting one for Mayo, because it looked like over the last couple of weeks that they weren't maybe overly keen on getting to a Division 1 league final, because they've got enough points to stay in Division 1. And obviously they have a massive Connacht Championship game with Galway coming up in under 4 weeks' time. And really that's the key game for them. Their nearly entire season is on the line for that particular game. So it looked like James Horan was blooding a few extra guys over the last couple of weeks against Kerry and against Tyrone. But they did well to get the win yesterday. Still no sign of Killian O'Connor, which is probably a bit of a concern for them, because certainly if Mayo are to go deep in the All-Ireland series this year and get into an All-Ireland semi-final or final, you will need someone like of his calibre stepping in, particularly with Tommy Conroy missing. But, you know, James Horan has blooded the guts of 25 to 30 guys there over the last 7 or 8 weeks, which really will stand to them. And then from Kerry's perspective, I suppose, they were already in the final. So they still went with a strong team yesterday, and I think for a couple of the new guys that played, they played quite well. The likes of Tommy Brosnan inside, and Stephen O'Brien got another game under his belt. So yesterday's game against Tyrone was still a very worthwhile exercise for Jack O'Connor, knowing that they had the luxury of a league final to look forward to the following week.
Yeah, and they certainly pushed Tyrone all the way. Tyrone just winning by the smallest of margins. Peter Hart kicking the winning score. But the highlight, for me personally anyway, Darren McCurry's goal. I mean, what a finish. I mean, there's a man banging form at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. He's nearly unplayable at the moment, particularly when the ground hardens up. And I think that was one of the key things over the weekend, was with the good weather, it felt like a bit of a championship feel to it. particularly when the games that we watched there in February and early March time in pretty much the depths of winter. So, but it was an incredible goal. I mean, Niall Morgan's kick out must have went 70, 80 yards straight into Darragh Canavan's hand. The ball didn't touch the ground and he delivered a lovely 40, 50 yard ball straight into Darren McCurry, and it was a brilliant finish. And obviously it was a key score in the game because Brosnan had just got a second goal for Kerry a minute earlier, so that was really the score that actually got Tyrone over the line and ensured that they did manage to stay up in Division 1. You know, they had a bit of a patchy league overall, but again, the management team will be very happy that they managed to stay in Division 1, given the fact that they were a little bit sluggish coming back into things in January and February post All-Ireland winning celebrations. And you know, Tyrone will be very much there or thereabouts as they get a couple of more guys back into their team and get a few more weeks of training under their belt.
Elsewhere in Division 1, Donegal versus Armagh. Now these teams will meet again in the Ulster Championship and it certainly will be interesting to see how that one goes, because Barry, we talk about shadow boxing in the league and not wanting to reveal their full hand of ahead of the Championship. There was a bit more than shadow boxing at play come the full time whistle.
There was, yeah, and these things do tend to happen, you know, when there is the two teams are playing again in such short proximity in just in 3 or 4 weeks' time, and again, pretty much a be-all and end-all championship game in Donegal. But yeah, it was a bit of a feisty encounter, and obviously it was a tight game as well. Donegal did well to get the win under their belt. It was obviously a lot more stake for them in terms of a potential relegation for them. Armagh, on the other hand, and Kieran McGeaney, he did go with a slightly weakened hand. But I think just as the game developed towards the final whistle, it did get out of hands a little bit. And I think for both camps, there's an interesting couple of days ahead to see if any players will be reprimanded, because you know, you could easily miss one or two key players and that could be the difference then come championship. And for both teams, they really will be focusing on trying to win an Ulster title this year and go through the front door, because they haven't, what happened with Tyrone last year going through and actually getting the All-Ireland, you know, there'll be high motivation there.
Yeah, and certainly Ulster is going to be so competitive that will be necessary to have all players available as well. And even from a neutral perspective as well, we want the best players to be able to be playing in Ulster. So unsavoury scenes, not great to see. Division 2, so Dublin and Kildare will be playing in Division 2 next year, but they won't be playing against either Galway or Roscommon, because Galway, with the best record across the leagues, already knew they were promoted and so rested a few big names against Roscommon, whose 5-point win assured them of promotion, and they'll be meeting again in the league final next Sunday. Derry defeating Meath mattered little in the end, as the Ulster men miss out on promotion due to Roscommon's win. And Roscommon kicked some great scores. Conor Cox played very well. Niall Daly actually for Galway put on a kicking exhibition, kicking 3 or 4 really good points from the Galway midfield. But the drama, Barry, in Division 2 was at the other end of the table. Cork producing a great escape to condemn Offaly, I should say, to the drop. Breathless stuff down in O'Connor Park.
It was very much an end-to-end game. It would have been a great game to actually watch live. Obviously, a lot at stake in terms of getting relegated to Division 3. I suppose both teams obviously wanted to stay in the Sam Maguire hunt as well and avoid the Tailteann Cup if they could. But yeah, it was very much end-to-end, high scoring. Cork looked to be pulling away with a 6 or 7 point lead and then got a black card, conceded a penalty, which got them back into it. And then the likes of Niall McNamee, rolling back the years, he put in a great performance there. And Anton O'Sullivan as well got a few lovely points from play. Offaly were just edging ahead then, a point ahead, I think, with a couple of minutes to go. But in fairness to Cork, and you know, they have got a lot of stick and shipped a lot of criticism over the last couple of years, but they actually really did dig deep in the final 5-6 minutes of that game yesterday when it looked like it was going away from them. They kicked the final 2 points and managed to get the win, which they needed to stay up. So a bit of relief for Cork, and maybe that could be a bit of a springboard for them in terms of getting their season going and trying to get back amongst the top table. It's going to be a long road, but certainly it would have been a longer road for them if they didn't get the win yesterday.
And the manner of the winning score, I know it was analysed in length on League Sunday last night, but Offaly goalkeeper Paddy Dunican has kind of come out and had a bit of a social media tirade, labelled the key kick back pass decision an absolute disgrace. This is one of the most scandalous calls of the year. I mean, by the book, the right call was made. He's obviously very disappointed and frustrated. What do you make of the rule, I suppose? And because we see now this is a prime example of how it can affect a key fixture with a lot on the line.
Yeah, I don't actually have much of an issue with the rule. It came into place a couple of years ago, and basically, you know, for a goalkeeper who takes a short kick out to a defender, he can't play a 1-2. That's pretty much it. So the player who's receiving the ball has to play it to another teammate that's not his goalkeeper. It's been in place a couple of years at this stage, so you know, players really should be up to date on that. It was obviously something that went against Offaly and the goalkeeper, probably a bit of an emotional tweet that went out from today. I think he highlighted an error earlier in the match when something like this happened, and the referee gave a hot ball, but the referee actually was right to give a free into Cork at the very end. But look, I think it's something that Offaly will learn from, the players will learn from, and I know if there's a short kick out from an Offaly goalkeeper in the first round of the Leinster Championship, it's not a mistake that they'll be making again. But personally, I don't really have much of an issue with the rule, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it was frustration with the inconsistencies, I suppose, surrounding it as well. So, yeah. But as you said, it is lessons learned. For Galway going up, I mean, how impressed have you been with Pádraig Joyce and Galway? Will they be contenders come the summer?
A bit early to say whether they'll be contenders in the latter part of the summer. I think the Mayo game in 3 or 4 weeks' time will tell us more on that front. Galway haven't really shown much pedigree at all in the Championship over the last 3, 4, 5 years. So very much the jury is still out there. They've had a great Division 2 campaign, but again, the standard of opposition in Division 2 isn't quite what it you'd be hoping to play against if you are trying to contend for an All-Ireland title. But I think for Galway at the moment, they have made great strides so far this year under Pádraig Joyce, and they seem to be very galvanised. They have everyone playing together. They look a bit tighter at the back as well, which is something you haven't said about a Galway team for a number of years, because they've always had the bit of quality up front, the likes of Shane Walsh or Damien Comer, etc. So usually they're fine in terms of one score and end, but it's more a case of trying to batten down the hatches and have a better, more solid defensive structure. And I think that's something that they've actively worked on over the last couple of months. And obviously they have another game now next week in Croke Park, which will be a good experience for them. I'm sure they'll go all out to try and win it. But then obviously keeping an eye on Mayo in 3 weeks' time. So that will be the big game and the big test for Pádraig Joyce and his players.
Yeah, certainly will. So Galway, Roscommon go up, Offaly go down, and Down will also be joining the fateful county in Division 3 next season. Speaking of Division 3, Mickey Hart's Louth confirmed their promotion, but I don't think many people predicted Limerick would be joining them. Billy Lee with the Treaty Men, a great example of giving a manager some time, letting him bed in, create something special there, create a really good group. They're such a physical unit, and we've seen that for some years now. And I'm already looking forward to Dublin, Limerick and the league next year from a spectator point of view. So it's a great story and great to see Limerick rising.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 2 or 3 years ago, I doubt if many Limerick footballers would have thought they'd be end up playing Dublin in the National League in the near future. So, but yeah, full credit to Billy Lee and the management team and the players there. And it really is probably just hard work that they put in over the last 2, 3, 4 years. They've been very much a Division 4 team there for a couple of years, obviously living in the shadows of their hurling counterparts down there, who get all the attention and glory and considering their success over the last number of years. But it just goes to show, if you have a committed group of players, a good management team in place, that you can make strides. And that's the beauty of the league, I suppose. You know, in the Championship, you could have everything teed up, and if you get a bad draw and maybe play Kerry every year in the Munster Championship, you're not going to make much progress. But the thing about the league is you're playing teams of the same standard, and they obviously were well good enough to get out of Division 4 a couple of years ago, and they're more than deserving to get out of Division 3 this year. And Division 3 is very competitive. There was a lot of teams there that really fancied their chances. The likes of Leash, for example, a couple of months ago would have really fancied their chances with a new manager coming in to getting up to Division 2, and they obviously got relegated then down to Division 4. So full credit to Limerick. They get a match now this weekend and on Saturday against Louth. It's obviously a winnable game for them as well, and also it gives them a lot of momentum then going into the Munster Championship. I mean, the Munster Championship isn't very much about Kerry and, you know, Cork and probably Clare over the last number of years, but it's great to see Limerick now in the mix.
Yeah, it certainly is. And commiserations to Leash and Wicklow, who will be playing Division 4 football next year after difficult league campaigns. And Division 4 by Saturday night, we already knew that Tip and Cavan were getting promoted. Barry Cahill, a great weekend of football. I'm sure we'll be chatting plenty as we gear towards the league finals, and indeed a great summer of football. So Barry Cahill, gentlemen, as always. So just to confirm before we do take a break, the GAA has confirmed the fixture details for the National Football League finals. There will be 2 days of football doubleheaders at Croke Park. Cavan and Tipperary meet in the Division 4 final at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. That's followed by Louth versus Limerick in the Division 3 decider at 4:45. And then on Sunday, Roscommon and Galway contest the Division 2 final with 1:45 throw-in before Division 1 sees Kerry and Mayo go head-to-head at 4 p.m. So, Shinné for Gaelic football will be turning our attention to rugby in the company of Fiona Coughlin in a few moments' time, so do stay tuned.
RTE
2FM.
Game on.
On 2FM with Green Farm. Being up to 90 isn't real. The protein in our range is. Get real with Green Farm. Real protein, real tasty.
Game on.
Rugby.
Yes, hello once again. It is great to have your company in this Monday evening as we turn our attention now to rugby and the TikTok Women's Six Nations that kicked off last weekend. And I'm delighted to say I am in the company of Fiona Coughlin now. Fiona, a new slate of last year had been wiped clean, and for so long it looked like it would be a dream start for this new Irish era, but it just wasn't to be. What went wrong for Ireland in the RDS at the weekend, I should say?
Yeah, so I suppose there was a couple of areas. Ireland's ill-discipline kind of allowed Wales entries into the Ireland 22, and they found a chink in Ireland's defence, and that was the line-out maul, and they used it. They scored two tries directly off line-out maul, and then two other tries came from it by sucking Irish defence in and then going over. So Wales then, you know, Ireland were still leading with 70 minutes to go, at 70 minutes, they got a yellow card, but they weren't very much in the game. They only had 34% possession. So it was disappointing then to come away ending with not even a losing bonus point, letting Wales in for probably two tries that they shouldn't in the final 10 minutes. And yeah, like a huge learning for the Irish team. I think what we saw in the first half was how exciting they could be when they had the ball in hand, but You need the ball more. You need your discipline to be good, not to allow other teams into your half. And I just think the experience of the Welsh team and how they used their bench was brilliant. And totally, Ireland had no comeback then.
Do you feel inexperience may have cost Ireland somewhat? Because, I mean, 14-5 in front of half-time. You mentioned leading late on. I think it was 19-10 at the three-quarter mark, but they just couldn't see it out. And I know the yellow card, and there were turning points and key moments, but in terms of just seeing out a winning margin.
Yeah, definitely experience where you play the game, how you play the game, both tactically and technically. Ireland aren't there yet. If you look at it, you had a new nine getting her first cap. You had Nicole Cronin, obviously she's well-capped Irish international, but we've seen her at nine now. She's playing at 10. We had to play two front rows for the full 80 minutes. Linda Jungang, she started in the loose head, which is a new position to her, back to the tight head. Niamh Jones was on for the home match as well. So elements like that, we didn't probably get as much impact from the bench and probably didn't use them to the same effect that hopefully we will going forward. But again, it's that lack of experience, that lack of time together. When we look at like the defence of them all, this Irish team have only had 3 weekends together. They've had a screening weekend and then 3 weekends together. So it's not a huge amount of time to get stuff done when you want to implement a new way of playing, new coaches in, lots of new faces in. So it's obviously an area that they will work on going forward, but just probably hadn't had a huge amount of time to work on everything in prep for the first game.
Yeah, and you mentioned it is a building process and it's a long road ahead. I think Eimear Constantine was even mentioning it there, that she mentioned today that it does feel like the start of something special. You know, a record crowd over 6,000 in the RDS, and there was a good buzz after the match. And listen, I don't think any in this Irish team wants moral victories or anything like that, but it is building and there are positives that Ireland can take going forward, albeit it's going to be an extremely difficult challenge come this weekend away to France.
Yeah, look, there certainly was such goodwill around the squad in the terms of the crowd that turned out to greet them when they were in the RDS was brilliant. The atmosphere there was outstanding. When you hear the players talking about the squad now and the environment and the culture, and that was the biggest thing that Greg McWilliams and his team had to get right at the start, was that culture and how they were going to come together as a team and try and get them cohesive and as much as possible. And yeah, it's a good step forward, and goodwill would only last so long. And results had to go your way. I think the first year is going to be tough. And I think the squad are at a point, it's a different trajectory than the other Six Nations teams. All of those are going for a World Cup. That's what they're focused on. So they're at a different level, on a different path than the Irish team. So he probably has a year to find his feet, and you know, there's no implications for the losses bar losing fans and support, but you know, there's no World Cup qualification in play next year, and in there's a WXV to play for to finish in the top three, so next year Six Nations is hugely important. However, in saying that, they're going away to France this weekend. They won't have a huge amount of time to fix the wrongs of last weekend because they only meet on Wednesday afternoon. They'll probably only have one pitch session, travel, captain's run, play the match against a really formidable French team who beat Italy really well the other day, although not playing very well and missing a couple of key players. So it's going to be a very tough task on them. But I think their whole focus in this championship was those home games and the performance in the home games. So it's the game after that against Italy that we need to be looking towards.
Yeah, we'll be interested to see how this Six Nations campaign pans out. I was actually taken back by a Mary Hannigan article in the Times, and she wrote, a record 6,113 turning up at the RDS to see Ireland lose to a Welsh side that they had mullered 45-0 in Cardiff a year ago, and then Wales made half their squad professional, and voila. We'll take the learnings from this, coach Greg McWilliam said after the game. The chief learnings, muses Hannigan, investment, it can do wonders. So I suppose looking at Ireland's opponents and how they went, probably on paper in terms of talent and skill, they are quite similar, but with a couple of players and professional contracts, it is an example of, I suppose, how Ireland can continue to invest and continue to improve the women's game.
Yeah, look, I think that 45-0 scoreline last year probably didn't, probably painted Ireland in a better place than they were at, and probably made Wales look worse than they were. At this point last year, Wales were in an awful place, probably worse than Ireland in terms of their camp and the off-field situation that they were in. And they obviously rebuilt. They got a new coach then in the autumn, and they've had a far more time together as a squad. Then in January, there's 12 professional contracts gone to the Welsh team, then some semi-professional retainer kind of contracts. But again, it's not that they have a huge amount more time together. And I don't think professionalism since January has made the difference. I think they were just at a bit of a different point and they're a bit more ahead. They also had a warm-up game against a USA select team. However, going forward, that gap between those teams, like already England and France, England fully professional, France semi-professional, and they're so far ahead already. I think as it goes on with Wales, Scotland also have 10 contracted players as well. That gap is going to get larger the longer that we leave go on. I don't think it was the difference this weekend against Ireland and Wales, but I think the longer it goes on, it will make a considerable difference.
Okay, well, an interesting opening weekend in the Six Nations. France, of course, with an expected win over Italy in week one, and England likewise away to Scotland. And as we mentioned, Ireland are on the road to France next weekend. So we'll be interesting to see how that one goes. And I'm sure we'll be chatting in due course, Fiona, throughout the course of this Six Nations campaign. So thank you very much for your time. So lots to look forward to in rugby, and still lots to look forward to on this evening's show as we turn our attention to hurling in a few moments' time in the company of Niall Moran.
RTE
2FM.
Game on.
On 2FM with Green Farm. Being flat to the mat isn't real. Our protein is. Get real with Green Farm. Real protein, real tasty.
Game on.
Hurling.
Well, you're very welcome back to Game On as we turn our attention to hurling. Not as many hurling matches as there were football over the weekend, but still plenty of drama. Let's work our way back over the weekend in the company of Niall Moran. Niall, yesterday, a relentless Waterford demolishing Wexford 5-20 to 16 points in a beautifully sunny Nolan Park. Yes, it was an off day for Wexford, but for Liam Cahill and Waterford, how pleased will he be with that 70-minute performance?
Waterford announced themselves, I think, as All-Ireland favourites yesterday. Shane, I definitely think the pressure is off Limerick and all the chasers after watching them. They were just unbelievable. 5-20 even at half-time, 3-9 to 10 points up, and within 5 minutes of it, they had another goal and added to it. Look, they have an amount of options. They're physically very strong and they're physically very fast. They have leaders in every line, and probably what we saw yesterday was a lot of them weren't even started. And look, again, they've been... they really announced themselves yesterday as being in that vein of form. So I'm sure they'll be looking at trying to put that silver with that there on Saturday. But again, in the same breath, Wexford very, very disappointing for... Even though they stayed in the game early on, you'd have to say that Waterford probably left them in the game in the first 15, 20 minutes. And look, again, it doesn't take away from the league that Wexford had. Like, it's been very, very impressive. But I suppose two things... that kind of really popped up yesterday that would be of concern are, number one, maybe the lack of real out-and-out pace across the team. They were left in a number of occasions. Like yesterday was a real summer's game of hurling. They were left dead on a number of occasions. And I suppose the other thing was, like, Rory O'Connor still showed for an awful lot of ball there yesterday. Just it wasn't his day, but that didn't stop him showing. But I suppose one of the concerns that I'd have had for them going into it was, outside of Rory, I don't think there was any other player in any of the other games that actually got more than two scores to play. Ultimately, to be a contender in any of these games, you're going to need three of your forwards probably getting three scores, whatever mixture that is, and that for Wexford will be all the more reason why they need Lee Chin back.
Yeah, no, and it was great to see. I think one of the loudest cheers yesterday was Lee Chin kind of making an appearance and getting a couple of minutes under the belt anyway ahead of the championship. How concerning is that for Wexford and for Darragh Egan? Because, yes, they've had such a positive league campaign, but I suppose the whole narrative around the league is trying to find a few players, and there has been a bit of a reliance on Rory O'Connor, and he's gone so, so well. But is it a concern that perhaps they haven't found the other scorers in the league campaign so far? And with the other, I suppose, disappointments you mentioned there, is that a quick fix now ahead of the championship?
Oh, well, I suppose look, up front, they probably do have a couple of newer forwards, Mikey Dwyer, McGuckie, and Josh and Pepper. They're all new guys, and it takes time. Trust, geez, we all got thrown into deep end, and we all struggled for air at times. So, like, Darren knows, like, that ultimately to go forward, they need to find new players. I suppose, look, it is a setback, but it's how he treats it. Again, so you know what I mean, it's how they treat that going forward. You can't leave it buried, and it takes positives out of it. That is the day to find out the kind of what's wrong or what's lacking, and then what they're going to do is go and see, well, how can they just tighten it up at the back and suppose bring those lessons forward. So no, it's not the end of the world, far from it, but it is an eye opener. And look, ultimately they still are on the level below where Waterford and probably Cork as well after the weekend there.
Yeah, it's a new position that they find themselves in after such a good league campaign where it was just consecutive victories as well. So they'll still have plenty of momentum going into the championship, and it will be really interesting to see how Wexford and indeed Darragh Egan do get on. We await the news on Austin Gleeson. RTÉ's Damien Lawler confirmed a little bit earlier on that Waterford GA will this evening study video evidence of Sunday's Allianz Hurling League semi-final before deciding whether to appeal Austin Gleeson's red card against Wexford on Sunday. Ozzie bagged himself a couple of goals, but you know, that one incident certainly took the gloss somewhat off the big win for Waterford. A needless red card, to say the least, I think.
Yeah, Ozzie's kind of a pantomime figure. He's a love-hate figure. Look, I thought in general play, I thought he was just watching himself and Dizzy Hutchison link up. He's a class player. Look, what happened, I don't know, is there a whole pile in it. I'm going to err on the side that he was just misfortunate and that he will get off. And look, again, biggest games of the year, we like to see the best hurlers, and I think sometimes he's a victim of his name, and I don't think there's as much in it as well as we made out to be. So I hope for his sake and the game's sake that he gets off.
Well, it will be interesting to see if Waterford do indeed appeal and how that one goes. Niall, on Saturday night in Cork, the Rebels defeated Kilkenny 127-220. From a neutral perspective, and I'm sure I'll get a text in from the mother and the family in Kilkenny now claiming I'm a neutral, but from a neutral perspective, it was a cracking game of hurling. Cork showing good resilience to see the game out in the end.
Class, two of the traditional superpowers going toe-to-toe. It was an amazing game, even first half alone, like 2-12 to 14 points. And do you know what I mean? I suppose Cork looked to turn on the afterburners in the second half, and it's fair to say that they totally dominated Kilkenny in the second half. And again, no different to Wexford, I suppose. The lack of real out-and-out pace will be of concern to Cody going forward. But if you can't criticise Kilkenny, they've changed things around. They've even like, they changed the deck chairs around with Owen Cody and Parig Walsh's positioning during the game. They found new players. So in fairness to Cody and his team down there, they've maxed out in terms of what they're doing, and they still came with the fight. But you would have to say just the pace of that Cork team, and I suppose the addition then, do you know what I mean, the addition of the likes of Kieran Joyce there, Jerry Mellor back in action, and so Alan Connolly up front was a bright spark, a real bright spark on an evening when Hoggy was probably in subdued form. So the one thing I would say the difference in my own head between Waterford and Cork is I still think Cork are probably overplaying the game a little bit around the middle third. I still think that they could, like when they come into physically stronger teams, and that's probably ourselves here in Limerick, probably like Galway and Waterford, I think they might be running themselves into cul-de-sacs a little bit along the way. And part of me, even though they got away with it against Kilkenny because they were so much kind of quicker and mobile around the pitch, I do think that they'll have to go a little less lateral at times and just try and get the ball in, because we saw when the early ball went, the likes of Alan Connolly, like, do you know what I mean? Jack O'Connor has come back into it. Obviously, Hoggy is going to have better days than Han. Like, given the nature of the forwards, if they get fast ball and summer seals, they are unmarkable. But the longer the ball is held up out the pitch, they become a lot more easier to defend.
You mentioned a couple of the younger guys coming through from in recent years for Cork as well, and Kingston's really kind of blooding them in well, and they're performing well in the league campaign, and hopefully that will continue on into the Championship. But it is an interesting narrative developing now ahead of the league final, with Cork blooding through these younger guys, and now Ballygunner winning in All-Ireland. So it seems hurling will possibly going from strength to strength in these two traditionally strong countries, with the league final now in Thurles on Saturday night, but going forward as well.
Yeah, obviously, look, it's great to see that there's a spread of real contenders here this year, and I suppose, look, Cork, there was a real buzz below there. But I suppose one thing I just comment on, Shane, like, the nature of the managers. I thought Kieran Kingston was superb in the line. I love the way the man carries himself. He's no different to Cody on the other side, or Liam Cahill and Darry Egan above in Nolan Park. He's just dignified. He's very strong. He's very, very honest. He has the resilience in him, and you see that shine through to his team. And like, I was there watching the game, and I couldn't, like, he pulled his own son, who was now starting to come into it. He'd taken him off at half time, I'd said fair enough, but the first 15 minutes he was excellent, and pulled Hoggy. Do you know what I mean? Oftentimes they say, Jesus, you're chasing the game, you're going to leave Hoggy there till the end. So like, I really think, they often say about teams playing in the kind of shape of what their manager is, I really am impressed by Kingston. I love the way he carries himself. And I suppose on that note, Shane, you forgive me for taking a bit of a ad lib on this, I'd like to congratulate the Limerick footballers, especially Billy Beely, alright, as he's known affectionately out in West Limerick. It was superb there yesterday. I was just so glad to see them again, like a team playing for their manager, and nobody deserved it less than to win that game there yesterday. So just to throw that in there as an aside, Shane.
No, that's absolutely fine from a personal and a selfish viewpoint. I cannot wait personally for Limerick, Dublin now in Parnell Park, or maybe down at the Gaelic grounds next year. So
I think we're hoping to take you out to Rakeel.
Well, listen, new and wonderful grounds around the country. I'm sure many Dublin fans are up for that. But circling back to the hurling, and now obviously we will look at the other end of the division, and Antrim with an impressive win over Offaly. What will that result do for both counties' progression in hurling, I suppose, in a positive manner for Antrim, and how negative will it be for Offaly going forward?
Well, I suppose in Antrim's case, it was a pressure game, and I've been critical of them that games when things were on the most on the line, they didn't perform, and even that game, after half-time, Offaly came with a run at them on Saturday. But look, Antrim steadied the ship, they got a goal. I thought James McNaughton, until he went off, I thought he was excellent. John Kieran Clark again, 4 points, really top forward. And look, for Offaly, it's very disappointing. Again, like I said, I feel there should be a grace period for teams coming up. Like, other than that, it's going to be a continuous yo-yo situation. And I know that they will have to revisit structures in the league, etc., etc. But ultimately, for Offaly, it's this game in 3 weeks' time against Antrim that will be a far more relevant, maybe longer term, because if Offaly can get themselves back into Liam McCarthy, that would be a huge addition. So that Joe McDonagh is going to be a really interesting competition again this year, because I think across the board it's stronger, there's better teams than even that there was in previous years. So look, disappointing for Offaly, and again, who knows, by the end of the year that the people with the magic wands above in Crow Park, they might decide, you know what, we could do with four more teams in the National League, start a couple of weeks earlier, and what about it, give them a chance to develop it across the board.
Yeah, it'd be great to see the expansion of and competitiveness as well, hopefully. So, to confirm, the Division 1 hurling decider between Cork and Waterford throws in at Semple Stadium at 7:15 on Saturday, following the 2A final between Down and Westmeath at 5:15 at the same venue. Just a quick word on 2A, Niall. Despite having an extra man for over an hour, Westmeath had to work very hard to defeat a plucky Kerry side 2-18 to 21 points in glorious Mullingar sunshine. Have you been impressed with Westmeath so far this year as they now prepare for Down in a league final?
Again, you're only following them from afar. I suppose maybe we lack that coverage of it. I suppose, look, they'll be glad to be back in Division 2A final, and they'll see the need to get back up. But again, it probably highlights, like, why can't we have room for some of these John McDonagh teams? Why can't they make up the league and let us have whatever 16 teams and run the league over a longer window period? Look, again, the key to Westmeath going forward is that they need to be hurling at a higher level. And if you ask me, losing the games that they did in Division 1 last year was sent them a lot more than winning the games that they will in Division 2, because like, it's literally like going from third gear up to fifth gear all of a sudden. So, look, I know the new management up there, etc. Look, they'll be glad to try and have a crack off Down. And it'll be no easy task. We saw it Down to Offaly 2 years ago. So, they'll have a lot to do maybe to beat them as well.
Yeah, for sure. And we will be previewing both finals in depth a bit later on in the week. But just very briefly from yourself, Niall, Cork and Waterford, how do you see that going now in Thurles come the weekend?
It's interesting. Waterford, to me, are a better team, but Cork have a good track record against Waterford. And again, it just, as I said to you, if they can move that ball a little bit quicker, there was questions that weren't asked of Waterford's inside back line yesterday. And I think Cork will pose a lot of those questions that weren't asked. So again, it's huge preparation for both of those teams. And again, hopefully the two of them will be softened up for Limerick in the weeks to come thereafter.
Absolutely. A great weekend of hurling. Really looking forward to the league finals, and certainly does whet the appetite for what is hopefully going to be an outstanding championship. Niall Moran, thank you very much as always. Just before we do end the hurling chat, just to confirm, in the lower division, Sligo produced a gutsy second half display to turn over Donegal 120-119 in their Allianz League Division 2B semi-final clash on Saturday. In the Division 2B relegation playoff at O'Connor Park, Wicklow got the better of Mayo 16 points to 15. Armagh had too much for Roscommon in their 3A semi-final, and Longford defeated Leitrim 123-213 in Pearse Park in the 3B semi-final. So we'll be Derry Sligo in the 2B final, Tyrone Armagh in 3A, and Fermanagh versus Longford in 3B.
RTE
2FM.
Game on
2FM with Green Farm. Rise and grind and the hustle mindset aren't real. The protein in our chicken and turkey is. Get real with Green Farm. Real protein, real tasty.
Game on.
Football.
Yes, you're very welcome back to Game On this Monday evening. I'm Shane Dawson, and I'm delighted to say I'm now in the company of Alan Cawley as we turn our attention to football and international football. Of course, the Republic of Ireland drawing 2-2 with Belgium over the weekend, and we'll be looking forward to tomorrow evening's clash at home to Lithuania. Alan Cawley, what was your main takeaway from, I suppose, a positive 90 minutes of football?
Yeah, evening, Shane. I suppose the main takeaway was the fact that in the lead up to the match, everybody was asking what would be a positive result for Ireland, and not so much on the scoreline. I felt what would be positive for Ireland is if we could still see more of the progression that we'd seen, obviously, prior to Christmas, the team developing, the team evolving. I loved the fact, and I mentioned it to you on Friday, that there would be continuity in the team selection. So I felt Stephen was always going to name a strong team, which he did, and I was glad to see that. And I just felt we'd seen more of the same of what we had seen over the 4 or 5 games prior to Christmas, where we've obviously picked up some positive results. So I was delighted with that. It was good that we were obviously tested with a top team as well, and they showed huge character and resilience coming back from obviously not just losing the first goal, but then falling 2-1 down as well. And Alan Brown coming on, having a big impact. I felt Ogbeni was brilliant on the day, and he's really turning into a key player at the moment for Stephen Kenny. And yeah, it was just the fact that we'd seen more of the same, Shane. I was delighted with the performance, plus the fact that there's that feel-good factor still around the team. Great atmosphere. There was a huge crowd there. Loads of kids as well that are really buying into, obviously, what Stephen Kenny is trying to do with this team. And there's huge support behind him. So I think it's positive times at the moment for Stephen, yeah.
Yeah, you certainly mentioned the feel-good factor and the positivity and a couple of big performances at the weekend. Shadozie Ogbeni being one of them. John Egan was played very well in defence as well. And speaking of the positivity, John Egan was speaking to our own Tony O'Donoghue a little bit earlier on, and he was in good form.
Very pleasing performance. I think we can take a lot of confidence from it. They're obviously a top side, and we went toe-to-toe with them, and on another day, you know, could have got the win. So it was a very good performance and one we have to build on now.
The manager spoke about you in particular in the post-match press conference and talked about how you might have changed the momentum of the game. And did you feel that, from your own point of view, it was a particularly good game?
Yeah, I felt, you know, I played well, and you know, the manager obviously gives me a lot of confidence to go out and play well. So I enjoyed the game. You know, I think throughout the team there was, you know, some huge performances, and as a team we played really well. So it was an enjoyable game to be a part of, and you know, definitely didn't feel like a friendly.
Where do you feel the team is at the moment?
Listen, I feel like we're in a very good place. I think the improvement is there to see for everybody from even a year ago to now. We're obviously on a good run now, where we've only lost one game in however many games, and every player that's coming in is doing really well, and you know, it's a really good squad to be a part of at the moment. in the short term. You know, we want to keep improving game by game. You know, game tomorrow night, we want to win it. You know, even though it's a friendly, we want to go out there and put a good performance in. Over the last number of games, we've found a settled formation, and you know, when you have things like that, you can really start building things, and it's up to us to keep improving. The manager, Keith, all the staff, put everything in place for us to try and get better, and I think you can, well, it feels like internally we're going in the right direction anyway.
So internally we're going in the right direction. John Egan on media duties earlier, he could be given the captain's armband tomorrow evening. I suppose, Alan, Stephen Kenny mentioned as well after the match, and I suppose echoing John's comments there, that he believes the momentum that Ireland are building helps to offer an understanding of the new approach to international football that Ireland are taking. It's 7 games unbeaten now. Is this team starting to get the recognition and respect that was perhaps lacking throughout the opening 10 games of the new regime?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, but anyone, Shane, that doesn't see the momentum or see the progression in this team very much has their head in the sands, or they don't want to see it, because I'm obviously a Stephen Kenny fan. I've always been, even during the tough spell, I always felt it was going to take time. This was a long-term project. He was trying to introduce so many new players and also change an approach. But I think the key thing about changing the approach as well, it's okay saying you want to change the approach and obviously trying to implement that, but you do have to back it up with results, and I suppose the results were lacking at the start despite the changes we were seeing. Now we're getting the odd result, but I still wouldn't get too carried away. It's still friendly games, but I think the key message is the momentum is there for everybody to see, and that's building, and you can keep building on that. John Egan mentioned as well the fact that there's competition for places in the squad. There's a feel-good factor amongst the players in the squad. I think you can see that as well. And I think they're all kind of, anyone that comes in, anyone that gets their opportunity, they're happy to be there. They all want to make an impression. They all want to be involved in this. And he also mentioned the confidence that the manager gives him. And I have a lot of people, obviously because of the League of Ireland background, and asking me what is it that Stephen Kenny gives to players. And I think what we're seeing with them, despite the clubs that the players are playing at, and they're going toe-to-toe against major players on Saturday who are all playing with top European teams, despite the fact that some of our players are playing in League One, League Two, but it's the confidence and the belief that Stephen gives them. And I think that's, we've obviously seen that at close hand when he was manager in Dundalk, even in the European competition, Shane. It didn't matter who he was playing against. He had full belief in himself as a manager, but also instilled an incredible amount of belief in the players to take on superior opposition. And I think that's what we're seeing now in the confidence that he's given these players. So it's still early days, as I say. They're still building. The key games are going to come up, obviously, in the summer, some qualifiers. And that's when, obviously, they'll be majorly tested and scrutinised even heavier. But all they can do at the moment is keep building and keep gaining that momentum. And I think that's what we saw on Saturday. And hopefully we'll see more of it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think the quote from Stephen Kenny after the match was really good. He mentioned, it's good to have good performances like that, for sure. It reinforces the message that we're giving, and people see you're getting success from that. It reinforces belief, and that can be powerful when you do that, when you play against top-class international players. And I suppose it's weird, usually you mention good atmospheres in the stand that hopefully translate on the pitch, but it seems like there is an inner belief amongst this group and the soundings from the Ireland management that is translating to the stands. Jason Knight even mentioning that the dark times have unified this group even more and created that inner belief that really does seem tangible, and you can really see it going forward. Alan, you mentioned a couple of changes that perhaps we'll see tomorrow. Stephen and Keith Andrews speaking today said there will be changes. What changes would you like to see come tomorrow evening, and who would you like to see get an opportunity?
Yeah, I think it's important, Shane, especially when you meet up for a camp like this and they speak so, I suppose, the praise they're giving themselves in terms of the togetherness in the squad and the unity. And we can all see that from the outside, but obviously the players are backing it up when they speak as well in the press conferences. And we can all see that in their body language anyway, that they are a united group. But when they come across like this for maybe a 10-day camp, I think it's important to give some of the fringe players game time. Stephen was always going to go with a strong team on Saturday because of the opposition, and that's fine. But I think tomorrow you will see the likes of maybe Sykes introduced into the squad with Oxford, Conor Ronan, I definitely think we'll get some game time because I know Stephen's a big fan of his. It's a good game to be introducing them into as well, because you'd like to think we will have a lion's share of the possession, and that's what Stephen wants in the games. But certainly against Lithuania we should absolutely have that, and Conor Ronan may come to the fore in how creative he is as well. I think Alan Brown has certainly put himself in a place where he'll probably start the game tomorrow because of the impact not only that he had Saturday but he's had in previous games as well. So I do think we'll see game time. Stephen mentioned it today, changes, but game time for some of those new boys I think is important as well, just that they feel they're all part of the squad. I know it's a good as I say, the unity is there amongst them at the moment, and we can all see that. But I do think it's important when you come away from your families or you come away from your clubs for 10 days, 2 weeks at a time like that, they do want to play. They all want to play. So I think it's important to do that and just make them all feel part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we do let you go, Alan, I have to mention the manner of the goals. I mean, Chidozie Ogbene, unbelievable strike, and an Alan Brown getting up with the header. It was nice to see Ireland score a header that wasn't a 94th minute equaliser from Shane Duffy.
Yeah, and they never resorted to that as well, and I don't think Stephen ever will. Stephen's very, very brave in his approach and very single-minded in how he wants to go about this job, and we've all seen that even when the results weren't going his way, he never veered away from that, and he won't veer away from that, and that's something you have to admire him for. That's his philosophy, that's his belief, and he sticks to his guns on that. And we saw that even when they were 2-1 down, there was never pumping any balls into the box or, as you say, sending Shane Duffy up for attacks towards the end. They kept to the mantra, they kept playing the right way, I suppose, and the right approach, and they did get a great goal, and it was a great goal from Alan Brown. Ogbene, who did fantastic in the match, showed huge desire to go out and keep the ball in on a warm day as well, and he was obviously after playing did a lot in the match, but showed huge desire, as I say, to keep that ball in and put in a fantastic cross, and it was a brilliant header. I don't think we should underestimate just how good the header was, because even though there was a little bit of pace on the ball, he still had to generate a lot of the pace himself, and it was absolutely fantastic. And I think Brown is one who will get himself into those positions and get goals, because we've always relied on Shane Duffy and set piece and stuff like that, but I think what we can see under Stephen as well, goals coming from elsewhere on the pitch and chances being created for others, and I think that's important as well, that the goals are spread around amongst the team, not just reliant on maybe centre half from set pieces.